The year was 1997. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston were an item. On the sinking Titanic, Rose told Jack she'd never let go. And somewhere on campus at Dartmouth College, Kirk Spahn saw Jenny Alden for the first time.
I was walking to tennis practice. She was coming the opposite direction.
And you may know the feeling. Kirk's heart skipped a beat.
I kind of lost it when I saw her, and it was one of those head turners, sort of gulp moments.
Kirk was a history major from New York, and Jenny was studying art history and wanted to be an actress. She was from the West Coast, with long blonde hair and a bright smile. It seemed to Kirk like she had dropped in from another universe.
She was California in the middle of New Hampshire, had just this enthusiasm and energy that was kind of infectious. When I got to my tennis team after practice, I remember asking, has anyone seen this freshman? And the response was yes. Apparently everybody had. And I was not the first person to recognize or look at Jenny Alden on campus.
In fact, before the school year had even begun, another guy had swooped in and started dating Jenny.
Justin LeBlanc.
He kind of locked and loaded me before school even began.
That's Jenny. And when it came to guys, she had a type.
You know, it's not that I had a type. It's that they found me and I was just done. Like, this guy pre-orientation at Dartmouth was a hockey player. I didn't even know, like, what hockey was, to be honest. And he was kind of like, yeah, I'm a hockey player. Like, I wouldn't be impressed. And that just meant nothing to me from California.
LeBlanc.
Justin LeBlanc.
He looked kind of like Joey from Friends.
He pretty much was like, week one, like, we're going to get married. And I was like, okay.
But Kirk wasn't about to give up. He made some big moves.
Yeah, I asked her to pass the ketchup to me once.
When that didn't work, he realized he'd have to try to be more direct.
And it went so far as to ask a friend of hers to set us up for coffee. The response was, she has a boyfriend, and I don't think she would go with you.
And every time Kirk saw her on campus, his stomach would drop a little. And he'd try to talk to her, but it never really got him anywhere.
I really can't recall a, like, extended conversation besides pleasantries and me sort of worrying that I was just going to, like, vomit, I love you.
Jenny only had eyes for Justin LeBlanc.
I really just had tunnel vision. I really did not see anyone beyond him. It was Justin and then my academic studies and my girlfriends.
Kirk never did get Jenny Alden in college. She dated the hockey player. Kirk played tennis. Then they both graduated, and Kirk moved back to New York, got a job, dated other people, played more tennis. He'd pretty much forgotten about Jenny. Then, years later, Kirk was with a bunch of friends in the city, and they all went to see the movie Wedding Crashers.
I heard that it was, like, the funniest movie. And then I saw this scene, and there was Jenny. And I kind of went, huh. That looks an awful lot like the girl that I was in love with in college. And then she came back on the screen and she was actually the bride in Wedding Crashers.
Jenny had followed her dream of becoming an actress, moved to LA, and yeah, she played a bride in Wedding Crashers.
And I remember telling the guy sitting next to me, like, I was in love with that girl in college. He's like, yeah, I'm sure everyone in the theater is in love with her. Like, yeah, obviously. I'm like, no, I'm serious.
Meanwhile, 3,000 miles away, Jenny had no idea that Kirk even existed.
If I met him, I have zero recollection.
I definitely remember talking to her a couple times.
Jenny swears that isn't true.
I never met the guy.
It would be 18 years before Kirk saw Jenny again in person. And it would take something bigger than ketchup and small talk to make sure that this time around, Jenny would notice him too. And of course, it wouldn't go exactly like it does in the movies. Nothing ever does.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like, every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
From Wondery, I'm Ingrid Haas, and this is The Moment. You've heard this one before. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy wins girl back. You've probably heard it because you've seen it in the movies. But how exactly does boy win girl back? Well, it usually involves something bold, a gesture of some kind, and if it doesn't pay off, it will leave the boy flat on his face, metaphorically speaking. My favorite movie grand gesture is from Say Anything. You know that one. John Cusack plays a high school kid from the wrong side of the tracks who dates the popular girl with a heart of gold. When they have a fight, he decides to go all in to show her how he feels. He drives to her house and stands in her driveway outside of her bedroom window and holds up a boombox, arms straight up in the air with Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes blasting through her window. The camera is slowly zooming into his face the whole time. I reach out from the inside in your eyes. And he's got this determined, pleading look on his face. I mean, there's no way she says no after that. I, too, was once on the receiving end of a grand gesture. A guy I broke up with got his entire family, all of his friends, former professors and coworkers, to send me emails. Every single email titled the same thing, on behalf of, and his name. And the contents of the email were the reasons why I should get back together with him. What a great guy he is. There were like 50 emails in total that came to me one morning, all telling me what an amazing man I'd be missing out on. You know what? It worked. The grand gesture worked. We dated for another year and a half. I figured if they all thought he was so amazing, I clearly was missing out on something the first go around. Yeah, well, I wasn't. He wasn't the one. I mean, amazing guy, just not amazing for me. Which is the reason why I broke up with him in the first place. And here's the thing. You never know how somebody else is going to take the grand gesture. You put yourself out there for someone. Will it be the moment when one person has to sweep the broken pieces of their heart off the floor and the other person feels like a heartless monster? Or will it be the beautiful moment that brings two people together once and for all? This is episode one, He Got Game. When Jenny Alden moved to California, she left the hockey player behind. It was another decade before Jenny would find the guy she believed was her one. We won't use his name here, but if this were a romantic comedy, let's just say he'd be played by, I don't know, James Franco. The guy was in a band, had long hair, had a ton of charm. Jenny's friends set them up for drinks.
That was like a really instant connection. That was another guy who actually, like, pretty much month one was like, we're gonna get married. I was just a sucker for those really confident, charismatic guys who kind of just, they knew I was the one. And that was really flattering and it felt nice and good. And, you know, so I was like, okay, I guess this is happening.
They got married. Jenny figured this was her happily ever after. The handsome husband, a beautiful house, and hopefully someday soon, a family.
Obviously, the next step is kids, which is my real dream, is to have children.
But 10 months after the wedding, something awful happened. Jenny was lying on a hammock when it flipped over. She hit her head on the ground. She went to the hospital just to be safe.
The doctor came in after that scan. He had this, like, stoner spaghetti posture. It was like, hey, so we got your results. Good news, there's no concussion, there's no internal bleeding. I don't want you to worry, but it looks like there might be some calcification in your brain and you might want to have that looked at. So I get an MRI the next day and my doctor looks at it and he calls me. He's like, so it turns out you have a brain tumor. You know, it was so strange that I, at 33, feeling so happy-go-lucky and bouncy and energetic and youthful, would have a brain tumor. The prognosis was not good.
Jenny needed brain surgery.
And not just any brain surgery, but awake brain surgery. My skull sawed open and my brain just exposed to the world while I was awake and the doctor was tinkering in there, making sure he was preserving my ability to speak.
Just hearing Jenny talk about that makes my brain feel like it's on fire. I can't imagine what it was like for her to go through that. But the result of the surgery was the best possible news. The tumor turned out to be benign.
I hit the jackpot as far as brain tumors go. You know, I'm super elated and high on life. I'm so just grateful to be alive.
All through this extremely challenging time, Jenny wasn't getting the support she needed from the one person who should have been giving her the most, her husband.
He was going out every night and we'll just skip to it. He was cheating on me. He was sleeping around with a girl he met at Coachella, and he was carrying on this affair for 8 months before I figured it out and caught him on it. Cheating on your wife while she's recovering from brain surgery says something, but the fact that it's like a Coachella hookup, I'm sorry. I sent him packing. That was May 4th of 2013. I literally have not seen him since. Like a brain tumor, like you can't blame anyone. It's something that just happens. But a person choosing willingly to make the choice time and time again to do something that's so devastating and so hurtful, I really was just dumbfounded.
In some ways, it took Jenny longer to heal from her cheating husband than her brain tumor. But little by little, she did start to feel better. She still hadn't let go of her dream of having kids, but now she was 36 and single, and she was facing a new reality.
And that's when I really had to come to terms with, you know what? I might not be able to have kids. But why don't I get my eggs frozen? Why don't I get that safety net in place? So I met with a fertility doctor and started talking about getting eggs and set up some appointments to do that.
Meanwhile, all of her friends were married and had kids. She'd scroll through her Facebook and it was like a goddamn baby book.
Look at my 3-year-old starting preschool and oh my God, like I'm on my fourth child now. It's kids, kids, kids. I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden this picture of this really cute guy pops up and it says Kirk Spahn moved to LA. We actually didn't know each other, you know, but I'm like, who is this guy, Kirk Spahn, who's moving to LA? So I reach out to him.
Through his years of living in New York, Kirk had pretty much moved on from Jenny. But it's not like he'd met anyone else who was Ms. Right for him. Or maybe he wasn't ready to.
It was the old, it's not you, it's me. You know, the thought of sort of marriage and kids was so far off. And it was kind of so focused on work, on business, on friendships, on building a sort of career and a life that was how it was.
Eventually, Kirk did get engaged 2 different times to the same woman.
It's amazing when you're in a relationship and people always say after the fact that there are red flags and God, why didn't you see that? I think that there was like an army of ants waving little tiny red flags.
When he finally broke it off, Kirk decided he needed a fresh start somewhere new. So he started spending part of his time living in Los Angeles.
I came out to start a business, but I was going to be back and forth. So I rented a room at a friend's place and I was with another friend saying, wow, I'm sort of making this transition in life and I want to reshuffle who I hang out with and not trying to figure out like who and where I want to spend my time. And my friend said, well, you know what? Have you put on Facebook that you live in LA? I'm like, I don't know how to use the Facebook. And he helped me and he wrote, Kirk Spahn moved to LA. Who do I know?
Hi, you just showed up in my feed and it seems kind of coincidental, I'm going to a Dartmouth alumni event this week. I'm just curious, any chance we knew each other?
The first instinct was like totally someone's like just like messing with me. So when I go on Facebook, I'm like, oh my God, this is her. Like, this is like how, what? All right, be cool. Relax. Don't respond right away. Like put the phone down because your first instinct is start typing. You're like, no. Just back up. Put the phone down. Go to the computer, cut and paste the message. Send it to all of the 6 college roommates that I lived with senior year. Every single person got back to me within 5 minutes. No way. Like, what did you say to her to get her right? Like you're just all these like random stuff.
But Kirk's college friends didn't have any good advice on how he should respond. So he turned where we all turn in our romantic times of need, the movies.
You know, there's certain Bibles to being a guy dating, and it's probably a generation ago, but My kind of go-tos were the movie Swingers.
Swingers came out in 1995. It taught a generation of dudes the rules for dating and made bowling shirts a questionable fashion choice for many years.
So how long do I wait to call?
Hey, 2 days is like industry standard.
You know, I used to wait 2 days to call anybody, but now it's like everyone in town waits 2 days. So I think 3 days is kind of money. What do you think?
Yeah, well, but 2's enough not to look anxious.
Yeah, 2's enough not to look anxious, but I think 3 days is kind of money.
Well, how long are you guys going to wait to call your babies?
Six days.
Yeah, you know, but you know what? Maybe I'll wait 3 weeks. How's that?
I gave it a day. And so the next day, I wrote in the afternoon, I think I said something like, hey, yeah, you look kind of familiar.
Were you a Kappa? I was a tennis player, and he kind of gave us a little background. I'm like, oh, and it's kind of started this, you know, friendly conversation, like going to be a nice casual meet and greet.
Usually I would try to be witty and not succeed, but because we had so much reference points, it was just very simple.
All these like kind of inside jokes with college.
You know, reference like the Dirt Cowboy coffee shop, like let's go get a weird name, Mocha Joe, whatever. So just easy.
We're kind of making each other laugh.
I couldn't quite figure out like her status, like if she was still married, if she was dating, if she was just being really nice, because that's how everyone remembered her, is just being really nice. I didn't know what to make of it until one of our text banters, we were supposed to get coffee.
I had no idea if he had a girlfriend. I had no idea if he knew anything about me. But it's just like going to be a nice casual meet and greet.
But then coffee turned into dinner. Jenny texted Kirk a choice of restaurants, and because he was new to LA, Kirk had no idea what to pick. So he picked the one with a garden, a restaurant called The Little Door.
And I'm like, oh God, that's like literally the most romantic restaurant. It's down the street from me, but it's like where people propose to someone. So I was like, oh God, I have to like get my mini skirt out and, you know, get my outfit going. So I kind of texted a little more with him. I'm like, wow, Kirk Spahn, I think we're about to have a first date.
I think subconsciously that kind of freaked me out a little bit. Not freaked me out. It just like a little pit, sort of like that little drop, like that roller coaster drop. Like, whoa, okay. It's sort of as an athlete, like it's like, I mean, the match is set. Like, I got to start training. Like, this has got to be, I mean, this is a big match. It's important. I'm sort of feeling like, don't get my hopes like too high up. Maybe she's great and we'll be awesome friends. I don't know many people in LA. Like, don't think that it's going to be the same as it was almost 20 years ago.
On his way to Jenny's house to pick her up, Kirk was psyching himself up like it was a big match.
So I was kind of like a tennis player. I was like, all right, I'm ready. I'm feeling great in the warm-up.
So I don my mini skirt and my heels and, you know, go to dry bar and, you know, look pretty cute. And he knocks on the door.
I was like, I'm going to win this. And she opened the door at her house. I was like, someone punched me. Like, I literally felt, I was like, no, she was exactly the same as when she was 18. Like, everything that I remembered was exactly who she was. She just smiled at me. It wasn't what I was mentally preparing myself for. So I think I got super nervous. Like, I just fell off every game plan.
Jenny looked great. The restaurant was dim and super romantic. But if Kirk had a plan going in, he completely choked on game day.
He starts talking, and he never shut up. The date started at 8 o'clock, and I don't think he asked me my first question until like 10:30 at night.
In my head, when we went to sit at dinner, I thought we were playing this game of like, okay, we kind of pretended we didn't know each other, but hey, we knew each other. Like, I feel like I wasn't like a super dork. Like, you know, she should have known who I was at college. I assume that she knew who I was. And so in my mind, I was like, hey, let me fill you in on what the last almost 20 years of my life has been like. And she looked at me like, stranger danger.
I was like, is this guy on drugs or just does he like need to be? And by the end of the night, I couldn't help it. I was like, do you have ADHD?
That's probably not the best thing you want to hear when you're on a date. It was so bad and I couldn't dig myself out of it. It was like a tennis match. I just couldn't click. I was double faulting. Like, I just went down like 2 sets early. I thought I was feeling good. Just, it was awful.
He knew it was a straight up disaster. And I was bummed because I was like, ugh, that's too bad. The Dartmouth guy had so much potential. That text banter was so on point. But no, I got to move on and upward from that one.
The end of the first date looked like the end of the road for Kirk.
She gave me a pat and a cheekbone. Like, not even like a full cheek, like a cheekbone butt to my cheekbone and a pat on my back. And that was awful.
It had taken Kirk 15 years to get a date with a woman he pined for in college. And he blew it.
Like, it was the worst thing that ever happened. Like, it was so bad. Like, I couldn't control my speaking. I couldn't do anything. Yeah, I had to basically just get back from that. Like, I had to figure out a way to just show her that I was a normal human being.
For Kirk to do that, he'd have to do something big, something he'd never done before, something scary. No, he's not going to shave off his eyebrows and audition for America's Next Top Model. He's going to do something even more scary for a guy. Risk rejection in a really big way. It's advertisement time. Fun fact, most women are not wearing the size of bra that they're supposed to. Yeah, it's true. I was wearing a size A for a very long time until I looked down and realized, go up a few sizes. Here's the deal. Third Love. They have an amazing thing called Fit Finder Quiz, and it's super easy. All you have to do is answer a few simple questions and have your perfect fit in 1 minuto. Third Love has an inclusive range of sizes for all bodies. That means double A babes and size J or I. I don't know. You do the alphabet. There's a size for you. They offer 100% fit guarantee, baby. I got my plunge bra in nude. OMG. I'm wearing it every day. And guess what? My fiance's like, change your bra. And I'm like, why? It's perfection. I don't change perfection. I'm not changing my face. I'm not changing my bra. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Woo! Go to thirdlove.com/themoment now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase, baby. That's thirdlove.com/themoment for 15% off.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rom-coms are full of grand gestures. They're big and loud and public. It's declaring your everlasting love on a stadium jumbotron. It's singing awkwardly in front of a crowd. It's proposing on a packed airplane where no one can leave.
Rachel Chu, will you marry me? And make me the happiest man in this world?
That may work for a Rachel Chu, but for me, I like the small personal gestures. Post-it notes that say I love you, making me coffee in the morning, picking me up from LAX. You can't choreograph a dance every time you want to tell someone you love them. That would get incredibly time-consuming. The day I finished directing and starring in my first short film, my fiancé showed up on set. He had two bouquets. He announced, one for the director and one for the star. And this is coming from a man who said he didn't like flowers because they died. It melted my heart. But after that first date with Jenny, Kirk was in trouble. If this were a tennis match, he was down two sets to love.
I just want to prove that I'm a normal, nice human being. Like, let me get back to like zero, like stage zero.
Kirk needed a second chance. Jenny had invited Kirk to go with her to a friend's birthday before the bad date happened. So Kirk used that as a reason to text her. He asked her what time he should come to the birthday. And he waited. Jenny wasn't sure what to write back.
Oh, God. How do I respond to this? So I'm like, oh, there are going to be other cute guys there. I really don't want to babysit this Kirk person.
She did not respond for a long time.
So I text back, hi, it's kind of a girl's night. We'll wrap dinner at 10:30. Maybe you should come by like 11.
And I'm like, isn't last call like midnight? So I knew it. And by the way, I'm not an idiot. Like, I knew what was happening.
And then Jenny added one more line. Pretty much the kiss of death for any hope of a future relationship with her.
And by the way, I have 7 single girlfriends. Can you handle it? Wink, wink.
Oh, I was so pissed. It was brutal.
But Kirk figured, okay, if this is how it is, maybe he can turn it around when he gets to the bar. Kirk showed up at 11.
And it was like a cool place in LA. So it was like the doorman. And I walk up. I'm like, oh no. Like, I got to wait online and then tell a doorman I'm there to see a girl who's at a girl's birthday party. I don't know who it is. Like, I when you get up to LA, like, who are you here for? I'm like, I don't know. The blonde girl that I want to prove that I'm, you know, like a normal human being to. Doesn't work.
When he finally made it inside, Jenny gave him a warm welcome.
Jenny's so nice. Like, she's just who Jenny is. She's like lovely and comes in and makes you feel like you're center of the world for like a hot second. And then is sort of like, there's Leslie. And I'm like, oh, okay, bye-bye.
Jenny was all over the place. Kirk got himself a drink. And when Jenny returned to him, it was to introduce him to a bunch of her guy friends.
She's like, these are my buddies. And like every guy wants to date her. Like she thinks they're all like, it's like something about Mary. Like everyone is like pining for her, but she's like, has no idea. And I know right away, like I'm put in like the stable. Like I'm like on the bench being like, all right, we're all playing for the same purpose. But we're all after this, like a mini version of like The Bachelor.
Kirk thought, okay, maybe if I can get Jenny's friends to think I'm normal, Jenny will come around.
And then she'll be like, oh, that Dartmouth guy probably just had an off night, or, you know, let's give him another shot. And that's all I wanted, just a shot. Didn't work. She didn't look my direction. Like, I mean, I made her friends laugh, and she was 3 feet away, and I'd look over, and, like, nothing. Like, didn't even get, like, a look over at all. Like, ever. No look over. How do you not get one look over?
I'm not noticing, because I'm talking to this guy, and I'm talking to that guy, and I'm here, there, and everywhere.
And then Kirk sees another guy in the corner of the room checking out Jenny. And suddenly, Kirk's back in college.
He was the definition of college hockey LeBlanc 2.0. Like 6'3", chiseled jaw, LA hipster, really annoying, very good looking. And he was like beckoning Jenny over. And I just like, no, not that guy. Like anyone but that guy.
But that's where Jenny was headed. And she wanted to look her best.
So I went to the bathroom, I fluffed my hair and put on lip gloss, and I am like coming out of the bathroom with a mission going right to this guy.
Something like hooked me. I was like, oh, no way. So I kind of looked down. I said to myself, what do I do here? So what Kirk would usually do is like grab a drink, talk to her friends and casually leave. But I remember the Seinfeld where George Costanza said he found the secret to success. And that's when Jerry said, George, you've never been successful at anything. He said, exactly. So if I do whatever comes into my mind, if I do the opposite, I will be successful. So I said, what would I never do? I stood up, I boxed the guy out, and I said, can I talk to you?
He's like, hey, can we talk? And I kind of look over his shoulder. I'm like, yeah, sure. What's up?
I'll never forget. She didn't even look at me. She was looking at the other guy. And I said, you know, I kind of feel like our date did not go that well. And I know your story. I know you've been through a lot. I know you're like dating people, but I kind of feel like I got put in the friend zone and I don't really want to be in the friend zone. So I'm going to go ahead and take myself out.
And he leans in and with his hand, he, you know, caresses my neck and face and head and brings me to him and he kisses me. Right then and there in front of everyone. And it was so confident. And it was actually very charismatic and sexy and surprising.
And I totally apologize to listeners. I want to caveat this with we are in a Me Too movement and this is not probably kosher to do. This was a long time ago now. I took my hand and I reached for her neck.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to lean into this. We're going to kiss. We're kissing. It was a really good kiss, but it was just so surprising. And we pulled away just kind of like looking at each other, these sort of giddy smiles. Like, what was that?
definitely the best kiss I've ever had in my life. And it was so surreal. It was just an instant connection. Like when we just started sitting down and like talking, it was like talking to your oldest best friend.
And it turns out we were like the same person. I mean, we had the same dads who went to the same college, who studied in the same library. Our moms had the same birthday. We have brothers who are 7 years older than we are, who are tennis players, who beat up on us. Like, we were like cut from the same cloth. And we had the same inside jokes and loved the same 80s movies. And like, we could not just like stop gabbing like two long lost best friends. And that night we would like kiss, talk, giggle, repeat. Kiss, talk, giggle, repeat. And that went on until like 8 a.m.
And I guess somehow I passed out because I had to wake up in like 3 hours. And when I woke up, like my forehead was like touching hers and we were like intertwined, wrapped in this like weirdest pretzel that was so comfortable. And like, if I could wake up like this every morning, just that's it. Life would be perfect. I knew getting up that morning that that was where I wanted to be forever. Totally knew it.
But Kirk couldn't stay. He still had an apartment and business back in New York, and he had to catch a flight that morning. But going home to New York now felt totally different.
After that kiss, I was donezo. Like, it was finished. I was like, that is it for me. I went to New York, and we started talking like we were teenagers, where parents yell at you to get off the phone, just talking for like hours.
So we talked every night. He was East Coast for 3 nights, and we talked for 3 hours, 4 hours a night.
And then she went dark on me because she started dating more people.
Kirk and I stayed in touch. I didn't like delete him from my life by any means. He was in the mix now. But I also had some other nice guys asking me out to dinner.
So I made the team. I got a jersey. I was on the bench. I was, you know, definitely not a starter, but the coach was considering putting me in the game.
3 weeks after Kirk and Jenny first kissed, she invited him to go with her to a dinner. Kirk was, of course, psyched about the invitation. The only problem was he was in New York, not exactly a quick commute to LA, and he had a bunch of meetings set up for the following day. So he did what any guy does who wants to get the girl but doesn't have a movie to give him advice. He asked his mom.
I showed her a picture on my phone of the two of us from the party, and she smiled, and I said, she wants me to go back to LA on Saturday for a dinner party, but like, I have a huge day Monday, like it's crazy and that's nuts. She just turned and said, I'm gonna buy your ticket. Like, you have to go.
For Jenny, this is just a second date with one of many guys that she's dating.
You know, Kirk and I just had, you know, a kiss. And, you know, super fun exchange. But like, I wasn't married to him. There were some other guys in the pipeline, you know, asking me out to dinner.
Didn't want to tell Jenny because I didn't want to look like the creepo, like, I'm going to fly across country for a dinner and then fly right back to New York.
But Kirk needed to figure out how he was going to finally get the girl. And for that, he needed to clear the field. He had the ticket to LA for the weekend his mom bought him because his mom likes grand gestures too. And mother always knows.
And apparently that night she told my father that's the girl that he's going to marry.
The Moment is sponsored in part by Sunbasket. No matter what you like to eat, Sunbasket makes it easy. Paleo, carb conscious, gluten free, Mediterranean, diabetes friendly, or vegan, whatever you don't eat, they've really got all your bases covered with their meal plans. Whatever you're into, you can choose from 18 weekly recipes, everything you need to feel and eat amazing. Sunbasket makes it so convenient to cook meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. Everything comes pre-measured and easy to prep, which means that I can have a healthy and delicious meal in my mouth in as little as 15 minutes. I mean, that's a quarter of an hour. That's not even an episode of any television show you watch. I've got the pescatarian meals on its way to my doorstep, and I simply cannot wait to test it out, feed my honey, and just enjoy a delicious, healthy, fishy meal. And if you're a lunch-on-the-go person, they've got five-minute salad mixes that make your life a lot easier. You should check it out. Here's an easy way to do it. As a listener of the show, you can get up to $60 off at sunbasket.com/themoment. Again, go to sunbasket.com/themoment to learn more about this limited-time $60 off special.
I was greeted at the door with, "So good to see you."
Kirk had flown 3,000 miles for his second date with Jenny Alden. But before he even walked inside,
"Let me just give you a little piece of info in full transparency."
I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not drinking tonight. I'm not drinking for a couple weeks. And if you even think about sex, I could have triplets right now." He's like, "Okay, what is this?"
"I am not drinking. I'm not wearing deodorant. I may be grouchy. I may be a little crazy because I'm getting my eggs frozen." And I was like, "Okay."
"So I'm in the process of doing hormone injections, and I don't know if I'll be moody or cranky or bloated or break out. But hey, at least you'll get to see me at my worst. And if you like me then we're off to a good start, right?"
I'm like, "Okay, cool." I knew about the procedure. I'd actually helped a couple people with it. You know, I knew a little bit and said, "Yeah, you know, however I can support, great."
He was like, "Can I drive you to the surgery?" I was like, "Wow, this new guy I just met is so much nicer and more compassionate about this elective procedure I'm having than my husband was when I had a brain tumor." I was like, "Okay, noted. This is a good guy. This is a really good guy."
The Saturday dinner date went well. So well, it continued into Sunday. They spent the day together, and for both of them, it was just really, really great.
Re-meeting as adults, I just appreciated who she was. I mean, she was so smart, so thoughtful, so truthful. I saw how she was so caring and nurturing of all her friends. She was the queen bee without being the queen.
Suddenly, all of those important meetings he had to be back in New York for on Monday didn't seem so important. He had a friend in San Diego with a nice house who invited him over.
So Kirk's like, "Do you want to go to San Diego?" So I'm like, "Yeah, why not? As long as I come back in time to get shots tomorrow at the doctor's."
Kirk pushed his flight back. And on the drive down, he was desperate to figure out whether this meant their relationship was getting more serious.
Are we an item? Like, are we exclusive? It gets trickier because we've only spent a couple days with each other. And I'm done, but I'm still trying to somehow play it cool. Because I know that they're all, I mean, she's getting texts left and right. Like, we're literally on dates. And so finally, you know, she turns around to me and is like, "Hey, there's a guy who's asking me to go, you know, super VIP to like the MTV Music Awards." And I'm like, "Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I'm still on the roster. Like, there's a whole team playing for this girl."
And I'm like, "Hey, Kirk, can you put on your friend cap for a second?" He's like, "Sure." I'm like, "So I'm on this great date with this new guy I met, but someone else invited me to the MTV Movie Awards, and it's too soon to, like, you know, whatever." I'm like, "I don't know. What should I do?" He's like, "This is a good question."
And I was like, "Oh, this is one of those girl tests. All right, like, if I get too anxious, like, you know, don't respond, or, you know, then she's going to think I'm, you know, not understanding and thoughtful and sensitive. But if I'm like, sure, go, like, she's going to go to the MTV Awards with some dude at like some hotel suite, like, no chance." Like, so I'm like, "Ah, this is brutal."
And at that point, we parked the car to get out to meet his best friend, Tommy, for lunch. And we're like, "Well, Tommy," he says, "Tommy, what do you think?" And Tommy's this German. He's like,
"You can't be serious. Like, you like her. She likes you. You get rid of everything else. You stop that nonsense." And we're both like, "Okay." So I'm relieved because I'm like, "All right, we're a thing." She's like, "All right, well, I probably should just, like, you know, let a couple people know." I'm like, "Well, why don't you just not respond? Like, this is what these millennials do. Like, just don't respond. Like, this is a thing." No, not for Jenny.
You know, Kirk, he jokes, you know, he just ghosted the girls in his life. Whereas I, you know, would write each guy I was kind of seeing, like, "Hi, you're such a great guy. It was really nice meeting you. But, you know, I reconnected with this old college friend." And he's like, "Jenny, what are you writing over there?"
I swear to God, it was over an hour. And I'm like, either you're writing a novel to one person or you're dating like 38 people and you're specifically making different notes to each one. Either way, I'm okay with that. I'm like, sure, we're now exclusive, so I win.
Whatever was happening here, Kirk didn't want to let it slip away.
Like, I'm not letting this go. You know, I mean, it's sort of like battling a fish that, you know, like a Moby Dick, you're like searching for it your whole life, the white whale. Then you got it. You're like, I'm in. The white whale doesn't know that you're in, so.
So he delayed his flight another day. That night in San Diego at dinner, they took another big, unexpected step.
Everyone's drinking shots and I'm not. And I say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting my eggs frozen." And one guy there is like, "That's so great. That's how we had our daughter." He goes, "You know, just freezing your eggs, that's a really new technology. The eggs can be frail. They might not survive the de-thaw." He looks at Kirk. He's like, "You got to make a zygote." And Kirk's like, he has no idea what the word zygote means. But he's like, yeah, I'm in. I'm like, no, Kirk, I think he's suggesting we make like an embryo, like a baby. And Kirk goes, yeah, I'm in.
Like, yeah, I'll make a baby with you tomorrow, Jenny. It happened that fast.
I absolutely know that this is the girl. Yes, looking at it objectively, it's a pretty big, crazy, random decision. For me, it was the easiest decision ever.
As it turns out, the best kind of grand gesture of all is the kind where you don't even think twice when the opportunity to do something really big comes up. Jenny had seen so many guys come and go when things got rough. Kirk was different. They hadn't even had sex yet. And Kirk was already giving his sperm so Jenny would have fertilized embryos. And when she woke up after the procedure, Kirk was by her bedside. They found out together. It worked.
We found out that we had fertilized eggs and made a healthy baby boy and girl embryo before we ever had sex, which is a modern day love story.
Jenny and Kirk's date lasted 4 days. It started with a dinner party and ended with an immaculate conception. Soon after, Kirk officially moved to Los Angeles. For good.
I started proposing to her like every day, like right away, kind of in like week three. I would just say that she was very smart about it and was like taking her time and said, and it made a lot of sense to me.
When he asked me, the answer was yes. Yes, 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 yes. You're my best friend. You're my twin flame. You are, yes. But let's like have a year together first before we walk down that aisle.
Jenny didn't completely trust the idea of an impulsive romance. It had backfired on her before. With Kirk, she wanted to do it differently.
And it was really important to me to date someone through the seasons before getting married. I've heard guys say, oh my God, Jenny, you're the bomb titty bomb bomb before. I want to make sure you still like me in 6 months or 9 months or 10 months.
I was counting seasons. So every day it rained, every day it snowed. I was like, check, check. All right, we're still in love. Got cold, it got warm. I was like, these counted seasons. I was like, we're good. I was like,
I love you.
I was like, that's got to count.
Kirk made it through 2 seasons before deciding it was time to make it official somewhere special. Like a tennis court. But not just any tennis court. He was going to ask Jenny to marry him at the U.S. Open. A grand gesture, 18 years in the making.
The grand gesture of a proposal was actually more my fantasy proposal, how I would want someone to propose to me.
To make it even more special, Novak Djokovic, the number one player in the world, would be playing that day. And Novak just happened to be staying with one of Kirk's friends.
Oh my God. I mean, if Novak would be like willing to do something or help out, that would be insane.
So we had lunch right before going on center court and Kirk wouldn't eat a thing.
But it was genuinely, I was nervous and fidgety because I had a ring in my pocket.
When they arrived at the grounds, who should Kirk run into but Jimmy Connors and Boris Becker, two more tennis greats who both agreed to play a part in the proposal, too.
We walk on center court and Novak is there to greet us. And I mean, I'm definitely more giddy. Jenny's like, oh, this is cool. It's a cool tennis court.
I'm like, it's a tennis court.
I was like, oh, my God.
Tommy's like, he's trying to give me the history of the court. I'm like, yeah, it's a tennis court.
So mind you, I have no idea what the plan is. Like this plan that had been hatched, just nobody had told me what exactly it entailed.
Novak just said, follow my lead.
So that's what I got. Yeah, whispered in my ear. I got this, follow my lead. Which is not really, when you're already super nervous, exactly how you want your proposal to go, because a million things are racing in my head.
Novak gave them a tour and then asked Jenny if she would like to see the court from the umpire chair.
So I said, sure, that's kind of a cool offer. And then he was hitting, and then Boris Becker kind of barked at me. He's like, you have to call it. I'm like, oh gosh, they're taking this really seriously. The Open is tomorrow. They're practicing. They need someone to call the lines. Okay, yeah, I'll take my duty. And he hit it really out. So I called long. And that's when Novak just looked at me, like, seething eyes, like, what? And he said, are you sure? And Tommy Haas is there. So I said, well, Tommy, you saw it. What did you think? He's like, I don't know. It looked very close to me.
You have a terrible German accent.
Well, you know what? Deal. So anyway, so then that's where Novak's like, you know, Kirk, you know, I let you bring your girlfriend. She's not even your wife. I mean, she seems nice enough, but like, who is she? She's up here. She's calling my shots long. And so.
So then I kind of broke into a randomly on the spot, prepared 10 seconds earlier speech that was basically that I had seen Boris Becker win, inspired me to play tennis. And I said, I'd never, you know, my dream was always to have a big win on center court at the US Open. So I said, this would be the biggest win of my career. And then I pulled out the ring.
This is the site where everything happens.
Practice right now.
Greatest victories. And so I think I want to make it my biggest win ever of my career. Will you marry me?
I did not see that proposal coming. I really thought Kirk was just really excited to go see center court. Like, that is not how I imagined in a million years it was going to go down. So it was like, well done. Total surprise. Our first crash and burn date was March 26th. And Kirk formally proposed to me with a ring on center court at the US Open in September.
And even though only two seasons had passed, Jenny gave Kirk the same answer she gave every morning when he asked her to marry him.
Yes, my love. Yes, I'll marry you.
Thank you.
Jenny and Kirk have been married for 3 years. They have a kid that they made the old-fashioned way and a dog. And life is good.
If you had interviewed me a month before I met Jenny, I wouldn't even believe in this stuff. And now I'm like a fairy tale. It's like I'm that guy. Like I kind of sometimes want to punch me in the face. Like I hear myself talking and I'm like, what? Like, I'm that guy?
You know, Kirk sometimes laments, oh, Jenny, we could have met each other 18 years prior. Like, we missed out on 18 years together. I'm like, no, Kirk, I wouldn't have been the same Jenny. So I think, yeah, it was just getting the advantage of meeting each other later in life, having perspective to not sweat the small stuff, and just wanting to laugh. You know, I've been through enough hard stuff. I just wanted a buddy to, like, enjoy life with.
Every rom-com has a happily ever after. We know it's coming, yet we still watch till the end. I think it's because we'd all like to see our own relationships have one of those endings. And if there's a few grand gestures along the way, even better. Whether they're big or small, those gestures show that somebody else cares enough to make an effort for you. Or sometimes, like Kirk, put it all on the line.
On our next episode of The Moment, we'll meet a couple whose entire relationship has blossomed under the shadow of international pop sensation, Taylor Swift. And not just in a they're Swifties superfan kind of way, but in a let me send her an email because I have her personal email address kind of way.
If this show opens your heart, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have your own story about love and the road to commitment, email us at themoment@wondery.com. You can also find The Moment on Spotify or wherever you're listening to this right now. A special thanks to Jenny Alden and Kirk Spahn for sharing their story. Kirk is the founder of Dwight Global Online School, a school committed to igniting the spark of genius in every child. I'm your host, Ingrid Haas. You can find me at Twitter at iHaas. You can follow me on Instagram at Ingrid Haas. This episode was written by Carla Kikowski. Our producers are Julia Botero and Diane DiStefano. Sound designed by Aaron May. Audio engineering by Sergio Enriquez. Our theme song is written and performed by Gems. The Moment is produced by Leah Sutherland. Executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez. For Wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.